Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of the Basketball Fiends Podcast, brought to you by the RS Gina Podcast Network. I am one of your hosts, Alex Aguilera, and with me is from Space City. I hope that's a nickname for Houston. I did a little bit of research. Okay, perfect. From Space City, we got Jesus Acevedo Jr. What's going on, man?
Thank you. Thank you for that nice intro. We are the Space City, and it's doing well. As you can see, Alex, is still daylight here. You faithful listeners cannot see, but Alex can see my window through our Zoom. He can confirm it is day. It's a nice day. It's a bit kind of stormy, but yeah, it's doing good. Doing good. I can't complain. How are you, Alex?
I'm good, man. Just been chilling, watching a lot of basketball, of course, because, you know, I got to hop on the podcast and talk basketball, so it only makes sense for me to watch it.
You know, I have one question, you know, before we get into our game four recap. What's one officiating moment in your sports life, in your young 22 years old sports life, that just stands out to you? It could be basketball, it could be football, it could be football, it could be baseball, because we know officiating crosses all platforms and all sports. But yeah, what's that one moment that stands out to you, Alex?
Ooh, man, there's, you know, I'm going to pick kind of like a little obscure one. It was when the Bulls were playing the Knicks back in the 90s. It was one game, I think it was 93. In Madison Square Garden, where I think the Knicks hit a game winner against the Bulls, but there was like 0.2 or 0.3 seconds on the clock. So technically, it's like humanly impossible to get a shot off within less than like 0.4 seconds. So basically, like, the Bulls should have won that game instead of the Knicks. And right after that game, they changed the rule where it was like, A basket like cannot count unless you like tap it in if you're near the basket. Like, it's impossible to get a shot off before 0.4 seconds, and it's all because of that damn game that the Bulls literally should have won. Like, the basket shouldn't have counted, and the Knicks ended up winning that game. And I remember like watching like an old highlight clip of that, and I was like, man, that's so stupid. Like, of course we lose that game, and right after that, the rule gets changed.
Yeah, that's a very peculiar one, and props for going all the way back to 1993. You weren't even born yet. You weren't even a glimmer in your father's eye. So shout out. But yeah, that's it's funny how that plays out. You know, all of a sudden they changed the rule to make it possible. For me, I think it goes back to the 2018 NBA Western Conference Finals, the Scott Foster game, Houston Rockets versus Golden State Warriors. A lot of missed calls in that game. You know, and yes, I know the Rockets missed 27 threes, but that's besides the point. We're talking about bad officiating. And we had some bad officiating in game four. Some people can say, obviously not as bad as what I've seen in past games. But, you know, we had Devin Booker, I believe it was Drew Holiday. He bear hugged him. He tackled him. Dang. You know, he did a tackle, one of those, you know, 80 Chicago Bears tackles. You know what I'm talking about, Alex?
Yeah, I do know. I like that.
So, but the ref swallowed his whistle. Literally, I thought he was choking because I'm like, he must have swallowed his whistle to not blow something.
Right, he must have fumbled the whistle or something. I'm like, oh, I kind of jump up from the couch. I'm like, oh, he fouled out, and there's no whistle. And I'm like, what's going on? And then I think like a minute or two later, Devin Booker like committed another potential six foul. So basically, Devin Booker like fouled out twice in one game and didn't. And yeah, just hella inconsistency in that game.
I saved the tweet and I don't have it with me. And I don't feel like looking at it, but somebody recording. You know, Devin Booker is the first player to score 41 points and have 7 fouls. Yeah, I like that.
Like 7 or 8 fouls. I like that tweet.
7 or 8 fouls. Now, you know, with all the respect, we should say the Milwaukee Bucks still pulled out a game four the game four win and tied up this series 2-2. So at the end of the day, at the end of the game, it didn't really matter, but it could have mattered. It could have mattered, you know. And to be honest, this game four finally delivered the game we were all waiting for, you know, because if you think about it, if we look back during the regular season, when the Milwaukee Bucks faced the Phoenix Suns, both of those games were two very close, very competitive games. I think it was a point differential between 2 or 3 points in both games, like one possession. And in game four, we finally had that. And it was a back-and-forth game all night long.
Oh man, it was definitely like, this is, I think, now the series we've been waiting for, or what we were expecting, because obviously games 1 and 2, Phoenix looked pretty much in control. And then coming back to Milwaukee, I figured Milwaukee would win game 3. I just didn't think it would be kind of like I don't want to call it easy, but just for lack of a better term, a easier win for Milwaukee in game 3. Like, they just sort of cruise throughout game 3. And then here we go with game 4. And it's sort of like a back and forth slugfest. I think there was one point down there. I think it was like the third or fourth quarter where it was like they were trading blows back and forth. It was like Chris Middleton hit a shot, then Devin Booker hit a shot, and they were kind of going back and forth for a little bit. Pat Connaughton kind of stepped up and hit some big shots. Of course, Giannis and that like insane block on DeAndre Ayton. I was like, holy crap, like he got up there. Like he just got up there and just like snatched the ball midair from DeAndre Ayton. And I think that was really the turning point to seal the game for Milwaukee. But yeah, it was like, you know, each team had their chances. Milwaukee at times looked a little slow. I want to say like the kind of like out of halftime, they look a little slow. But I mean, they clawed their way back. They stuck with it and they got the dub.
It's the Suns held the lead throughout most of the game. You know, the Bucks would get close, then 2 points, 1 point, tied the game up. But the Suns looked to be not primed for a victory, but looked like they were on their way to a game 4 victory. You know, they had a 9-point lead in the fourth quarter. So a ton of credit for the Bucks for just sticking around within striking distance. And once they got the lead, they never let it go. You know, Chris Middleton, we got to put some respect on his name. The shooting guard lived up to his position and shot the ball. 40 points, 24 in the second half, 14 in the final quarter. And to be honest, it was just a heavy dose of Chris Middleton. You know, they would just play their sets and get Chris Middleton. And all Chris Middleton had to do was either shoot or pass. Yeah. You know, what is the defense going to give me? Shot, swish. So it's his. This performance was the latest in what has been a tremendous 2021 NBA playoffs for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think sort of the criticism that he gets with his game is not necessarily that he isn't a good player. I mean, obviously he's a fantastic player. He's definitely, I want to say, the number two guy on Milwaukee. I think there's just inconsistencies at times. He'll have one game where, you know, he kind of puts up a dud, like 10 or 12 points, and then he has a game like he had in game 4 where he puts up 40 points. And I honestly, you know what, like, I'll say it, like, he's Milwaukee's closer. He is the guy that is going to close out the game for you, you know, for the Bucks. I mean, Giannis is going to do his thing, you know, throughout the game, drive in the lane, draw fouls, you know, pick up blocks, boards, whatever. But when it comes down to crunch time, Chris Middleton is the guy to seal it. And I mean, literally, like, the last 2 minutes of game 4 was the Chris Middleton show.
It was. And look, I know Antetokounmpo had a slow game, but it's only slow because he didn't crack 40 like he had done in game 2 and game 3. But listen, while he didn't have the points he had in those games, he impacted the game in other ways. And I want to highlight two defensive plays. You already brought one up, the spectacular block on 8 and late in the fourth quarter. But to me, the poke on that Chris Paul play, which I'm not even sure if he even poked the ball out of Chris Paul's hands, but it was just his presence there had Chris Paul thinking twice, and that was just enough for him to cause the turnover. So yeah, you know, shout out to him. He had a solid game. You know, had a great game. A bounce back game was Devin Booker. This game reminded me, you know, he had what, 41 points and
42.
This 42 points. My bad. You know, 42 points. We got to give him every point he earned. He should have fouled out, you know, when he tried and tackle Drew Holiday. That should have been his sixth foul. But this game wasn't unlike Antetokounmpo's game in game 2 where he had those 42 points. You know, Booker was the main bucket getter in this one for the Suns. You know, Chris Paul had a very forgettable game. I think Jay Crowder was the only one that was scoring points, and his came in more in spurts while Booker's was throughout. But you know who I'm sure can't wait to get Devin Booker's Team USA Basketball? Alex, and there are second topics. And I'll be honest, I didn't think we would be talking about Team USA basketball at this stage, simply because I expect them to win gold, right? That's what we should expect them to do, is win gold. I figured we would talk about them once they were in the final game, or, you know, in the semifinal. But over the past week, since our last episode, Team USA has lost to Nigeria and Australia. What can we make of that?
I wouldn't throw up the like red flag and panic, like, oh my god, like, this is a disaster. I mean, they're exhibition games, tune-up games, you know, you can suspect that they're not going 100%. But at the same time, I think it's a testament that the rest of the world is catching up to the U.S. in regards to basketball. Like, it is an international game. It isn't like 1992 where, I mean, it was like 9-10 Hall of Famers. Literally, like, the whole roster was full of Hall of Famers, and everyone else was just starting to, you know, get into basketball. Whereas, you know, fast forward to 2021, I mean, you got Luka Doncic, who's leading Slovenia to their first Olympic, like, berth ever. And that's a large part in him. And, I mean, Australia, I mean, they got some guys over there. I know Patty Mills has played with a lot of those guys for years. It isn't just like the U.S. where they pretty much bunch together a bunch of good players. You know, a lot of these international squads have played together for years. They know each other. They've built up chemistry. Whereas you look at this USA team, excuse me. And, I mean, on paper, like, it's a good team. Like, not the best team that we can put up, but still a really good team, headlined by, you know, Kevin Durant. You got Jason Tatum. You got Damian Lillard. So, I mean, on paper, once again, it's a good team. But these are guys that are normally compete against each other, and these are guys that are also getting used to international officiating. I know we were bashing NBA officiating a little bit earlier, but it's something that they have to get used to. The foul calls that they're used to getting in the NBA, they're not gonna get come Olympic time. So, you know, it's there's adjustments that need to be made. So I'm not saying freak out, but hey, it's a wake up call.
You know, I'm not gonna go the Stephen A. Smith route and just talk bad about Nigeria, because that's a talented team over there, you know. And
it's a good
that's a good team. And I highly suggest you listeners, if you don't, to follow the Nigeria basketball Twitter account. Their tweets are beyond what any other sports Twitter account is doing. And I was following them and just laughing at while they were playing the game, and even after the USA game and on, and then even when Australia beat Team USA. So highly recommend following them. But yeah, stepping back from the ledge, I think, you know, they are exhibition games. Now, with that said, you could tell that Nigeria and Australia went into these games with more effort, more ganas. You know, because to them, they're going to go up against the powerhouse, the world powerhouse in basketball. We have the best players, simple as that. So to them, anytime they match up against the USA, whether it's an exhibition game, a friendly, or a 3-3 on, you know, in the park, they're going to come at the USA hard. But yeah, it does speak to that point. You know? And I think it's a good point that global basketball is stronger and it's more competitive, because I think that's only bodes well. That means, you know, more talented teams out there and can give Team USA more actual competition. Let's be honest, you know, past, not including maybe the last two Olympics, the U.S. has always kind of cruised. You know, they've had a little challenge here or there, but still always cruised through to the gold medal. So I would love to see them actually have competitive matches, you know, with the international team. And that's what we're starting to see now.
Yeah, it should be fun. It's like the last three Olympics since 2008. The U.S. has cruised to Olympic gold in basketball, and it's just kind of like, you know, blowout after blowout. Like you said, maybe one game here or there where it's a little tight. But for the most part, I mean, USA basketball hasn't had any issues in the Olympics. But I think what we're starting to see now is that I think compared to like 2008, that was like the redeem team. Because, of course, we all know, like in 2004, the blunder that USA basketball had, where they won bronze, and it's like, oh my god, like, USA basketball sucks now. Like, we're terrible. So I mean, that 2008 team had a little chip on their shoulder to, you know, win gold and make up for that 2004 Olympics. And then you had 2012, where it was like, hey, let's back it up and let people know that, hey, we're, you know, we're top dog here. And I feel like since then, you know, I feel like USA basketball has gotten a little comfy now. You know, guys are kind of like, hey, like LeBron got his gold medal, Melo got his gold medal. A lot of these guys, so they're like, hey, we'll pass up the Olympics. You know, a lot of the focus now is on an NBA title, which is, I mean, it's fair, you know, whatever you want to prioritize. I mean, an NBA title for a lot of guys is the ultimate goal. So, I mean, for some guys, look at a Ben Simmons. I mean, he's passing up the Olympics to work on his game. Which he
better learn how to shoot.
Yeah, which I mean, in his case, I kind of get, because man needs to work on his game a little bit more. But I just think now, like we've been saying, the world is catching up, and now the U.S. needs to look themselves in the mirror and say, hey, like, you know, we may be top dog for now, but you know, the Australias, the Nigeria, Spain, who has, you know, kind of been on U.S.'s heels for years as sort of like the second, like the beta. Next to the alpha that the U.S. has been. So I think it'll be a fun Olympics. I think U.S. is still going to be the favorites going into the tournament, but I don't think it's as significant or as big of a, I don't know, lead. I don't know. USA, it shouldn't be as favorite as much as before.
I wonder if Team USA could have benefited from a player like Kawhi Leonard. You know, someone that can defend the other team's best player, get your bucket late in game. He's pretty good. You know, granted, you know, he's sidelined. You know, he actually just had surgery to repair his ACL, had a tear, which, you know, now puts the Clippers in a pickle. What kind of pickle? Is it dill, sweet and sour, butter bread, or spicy? That all remains to be seen. You know, we don't know what this pickle is going to be like, because Leonard's ACL injury puts him out to at least April of 2022, when the 2022 NBA playoffs will be just about to start. So it's what does the Clippers do? What does Leonard do? Because Leonard has an option, a player option for $36 million. And according to ESPN's Bobby Marks, Leonard can then, if he opts that, he can then sign a four-year $181.5 million extension that will start in 2022-23. So it's, like I said, it's a pickle, Alex.
Yeah, I mean, those are a lot of pickles you listed there. I didn't know about the butterscotch, whatever one you just said.
Butter bread.
Pickles. They go butter bread. I thought pickles were just pickles. Like, I don't know, sweet pickle, dill pickle. Those are the only ones I knew.
You got to expand your horizon. See, just because you're 22 years old, you haven't seen pickles all the way out. There's
a lot of pickles. I haven't. I'm not a big pickle guy. Like, I'll have a pickle.
Oh, well, there you go. Obviously, see? There you go.
Right. I just have a pickle on my hot dog, on my burger, and that's it. I call it.
On your hot dog? Oh, that's right. Because the Chicago dog.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. You know what? I actually like Chicago dogs. I'm a fan of them.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, they're different. Like, I know it's a lot. It can be overwhelming, but hey, it mixes well.
Next time I go to Chicago, you have to tell me where I can get some good Chicago dogs.
Ooh, I got to take you to Jimmy's, man. It's a beat-up hot dog, but it is good.
Oh, all right. But, you know, back to Kawhi Leonard.
Right. From pickles to hot dogs, let's go back to Kawhi Leonard, who we're supposed to be talking about. Like you said, it kind of is, I don't want to say pickle. It's sort of a dilemma for the Clippers, I think.
A dilemma?
A dill. Oh, my God. Oh my God, man. All right, that was good though. I'm not gonna lie, that was like a toss up. You knocked that out of the park.
Alley-oop.
Yep, it is a dilemma for the Clippers. I think Kawhi stays though. Like, I don't really see him going anywhere. If anything, he may just opt out just so that he can get that supermax, you know, so that he can get paid. But I don't really see him going anywhere else. I think he really wants to be in LA. He's a California guy, so.
I mean, he just bought a big house too,
right? Like that's where he wants to be. And I guess on the Clippers side of things, this is Paul George's time. You know, for however long Kawhi is out, I know, I think it might have been a partial tear at the ACL, but still a significant injury that's going to keep him out a while. This is the time for Paul George to really kind of take over. In the meantime, you know, this is going to be his team, for the time being. You know, whether or not Reggie Jackson comes back, we don't know. I mean, there's definitely going to be a lot of teams soon looking out for him.
And you know, my dogs are barking because that's a question that they have too, is what are the Clippers going to do with Reggie Jackson? Because now they need him. Because now you need to give Paul George help. Because without anybody else in the tough Western Conference where teams are getting better this offseason, it's maybe they're going to be in the playing tournament by the time Kawhi Leonard comes back. You know, so if I'm the Clippers, that's what they have to do. They have to get a secondary scorer or bring Reggie Jackson back. You know, if they bring Reggie Jackson back, he fixes everything, right? Because then when Kawhi comes back, he can just start into that role that he's already used to. Granted, you're going to be paying him a lot, but you can also think about him as your third star. Not star, but third go-to option, perhaps, because he's proved that he can be that person. My dog's keep barking because it appears they're big Reggie Jackson fans. I had no idea.
I guess.
You know, I wish I would have known. I didn't know I had Clipper fans in this household. But besides that point, I think that's what it is for the Clippers. You know, what do they do? I've also heard, I know we're going to be hearing things about what the Clippers are going to be doing, who they may be targeting. Because if they don't sign Reggie Jackson, they're going to have money to spend to attract the free agent.
Right, yeah. I think another issue, too, with the Clippers is just sort of a lack of depth, especially on the scoring side. I think outside of Kawhi, PG, and Reggie right now, I don't see, like, a ton of, like, go-to scoring options for that team. I mean, I know Serge Ibaka's there, but he was out with an injury, so it'll take some time for him to get acclimated again. I mean, Patrick Beverley's, you know, more of your defender, not necessarily a scorer. I mean, he can shoot a little bit, but, you know, that's not what he's there for. So definitely some things for the Clippers to ponder on moving forward, because, yeah,
I'm going to throw a name out there that I think the Clippers should go after. John Wall.
John Wall. Huh.
John Wall, somebody that even when Kawhi comes back, he can still be valuable because he can set up the offense. You know, he's a good, not great scorer, right? But he's a good scorer. But he's somebody that has control of the ball and he can help them. And, you know, the Rockets are trying to go young. So that's a contract that they're willing to probably let go. So John Wall, which brings me to an interesting question. We're bringing it back to Kawhi Leonard. Do you think he would ever be, or is he past his prime? He's 30 to be an NBA 2K cover.
I mean, I think he still can make the 2K cover as long as he's healthy. I don't know if he's gonna make it next year. I mean, because what we're getting into is like this year's cover athletes have already been announced, and he definitely ain't one of them.
He's not one of them. The cover athlete for NBA 2K22. 2K22, however you like to pronounce it, is Luka Doncic of the Dallas Mavericks. But we actually got two other covers, Alex. What are the two other covers we have?
So my favorite, or you know what, I'll save that for last. The Ultimate Edition of NBA 2K22 will feature Dirk Nowitzki, Kevin Durant, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, which is a nice, interesting trio there of big fours. Well, Kevin Durant could play kind of whatever, but I mean, we say he's a small forward, but really he's like a 6'11 power forward that can power forward. Do whatever he wants.
Before you get to your favorite, I do have to speak on this. I'm a little upset with that cover that you just had, the special edition, because you have somebody from the 80s. You have two players that are more recent players. I would like to have seen either add a 90s player or replace either Dirk or KD with a 90s player, because I feel that's what we're missing, a player from the 90s. Because Dirk, to me, he's a 2000 player. KD is a 2010s player. You know, so it's like you went 80s, nothing for the 90s, something for the 2000s, something for the 2010s. You know, where's the love for the 90s? That's the basketball that I grew up in. You know, Hakeem Olajuwon should have been on that cover, or you know, Charles Barkley, you know, or you know, Shaquille, you know, or you know, what you got? You need a point guard. You know, Gary Payton should have been on there. You know,
yeah.
Jason Kidd or.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, Durant's been on the cover like two times before. He was on it in 2013. I remember with like Blake Griffin and Derrick Rose. I remember that cover because I wanted that game so bad just because Derrick Rose is on the cover. And then I think in 2015. I get what you're coming from. Just kind of keep it consistent. It's like, hey, the Ultimate Edition, you got Derrick who's retired. You got Kareem, an all-time great. So why not keep it consistent and just throw in another all-time great in there? Not that KD isn't. I mean,
oh no,
duh, he's a no-brainer Hall of Famer. So, you know, but I get what you're saying. But my favorite cover athlete has to be the first woman ever to grace the cover of NBA 2K is the Chicago Sky's his very own Candace Parker.
Candace Parker, come on down. You could win an exclusive cover, the GameStop exclusive cover. It'll be interesting to see how many how it does in sales. I'll be honest, I haven't played 2K in ages. I think the last time I played was 2K12. You know, so I haven't played. I know it's got even more popular. You know, I mean, I used to play basketball games back then when we had NBA Live. You know?
NBA Live. So, yeah. When it was NBA good. Live.
When it was good, right now I was trying to take a turn. You know, I even played some NCAA basketball back when they had it, but I stopped playing basketball games like around that time, 2012. And now, I mean, really, the only time I really have to play games from sports games is just FIFA, because I can just do a quick 30-minute. And I know sometimes I think with the basketball, with the 2K, the game got a bit more difficult, you know, and I was like, I don't have time to invest and learn all the moves and everything.
Right. Yeah. No. I get you. Like, 2K has definitely changed. Like, I want to say that sweet spot where 2K was really like on fire was like, you know, 2010 to like 2013, 2014. I think that was like that golden age of 2K basketball games. And then after that, like you said, the popularity boosted. So the game started to get a little bit more extravagant, and now you got guys with player badges and all that, like diamond, sapphire, whatever. Like my cousin Eric, shout out to him. He's super into 2K, and he started getting into all that. And I was like, man, like 2K was just sort of like a cool, you know, pick up your controller, kind of like nice simulation game. Whereas now it's like you really got to put time into it, and it's just kind of like, do I really want to do that? It's like, yo, I just want to pick up and play.
So. Now, and I'm sure there's an option where you can just do that, but even that, the actual play got a little bit more, you know, more advanced, which is, you know, it's bound to happen, right? Because, you know, Graphics improve, and, you know, gameplay maybe tries to get a little bit more realistic, and right, you know, I know FIFA has done that for some time, you know, but at least FIFA keeps it simple, where it's like kick, cross, pass,
you know? Right, even though like you want to have that realism, you also want to sort of maintain that arcadiness to it. Like, yeah. I mean, obviously NBA Jam is a totally different game compared to 2K. Like, obviously completely unrealistic, where guys are jumping like 5 feet above the basket and dunking the ball from the 3-point line. So but still, like, it's just fun to just sort of pick up and play. You don't really got to think too much when you're playing it, whereas I don't know, it's different. I mean, it is what it is.
Now, are you going to get the Candace Parker exclusive cover? Even though you're not going to play, just...
Right. Just to have I'm going to pick up 2K22, I'm getting the Candace Parker cover. Yeah. Like, absolutely.
Yeah. If I did play, I'll probably get the special edition with Kareem, Dirk, and KD. Because I like Dirk. Oh, that one's $100? Oh, no.
It's like the ultimate edition.
Well, then again, I said if I was.
Yeah,
you know?
if.
Yeah, but... yeah, but NBA 2K22, where you people like to play 2-2. You know, it just sounds better. 2-2. NBA 2K22. It does sound pretty funny. but that's all the basketball topics we have for you faithful listeners on this episode, the Basketball Fiends. With the time we have remaining, I do want to give a shout out to my co-host Alex Aguilera, Mr. Alex Aguilera, who will be starting his first job out of college. He only lasted 1 year out of college looking for work, but look, it takes time. It takes time, and I think you couldn't have landed a better spot. But I'm not gonna tell the people what spot that is. I'm gonna let you have it. But I just want to say, from your co-host, I am proud of you for the step you're taking. But yeah, shout out, man. Congrats.
Thanks, man. Thank you. So, yeah, I will be starting a position with my hometown Chicago Bears as a seasonal content producer. So, yeah, man, I'm pretty hyped for it. I'm going to be doing a lot of sort of video production stuff, a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, editing, you know, logging footage, shooting. So I'll be doing a little bit of everything behind the scenes. But, yeah, just excited, a little nervous, you know, just first, you know, job. Out of college, and it's with the Bears, so it was just kind of like
no pressure
right, no pressure at all. But yeah, I mean, I'm very grateful for, you know, people that have been with me throughout my whole life, helping me out. Obviously my parents first and foremost, you know, my siblings, friends. So I mean, there's too many people to thank, and I know we're running out of time, but just gotta shout out those people. They know who they are. So yeah, I mean, honestly, if you would have told me even like 5 months ago that my first child would be with the Bears, I would have been like, get the hell out of here, man. No way.
We're like, what are you smoking? And let me have some, because that is right. That's some good stuff.
Because, man, I ain't getting no emails right now, so don't talk to me about the Bears.
Right? Out of all the places, the Bears come on, right?
Yeah, man, I was surprised. Like, they're, I think, the only people that got back to me and that wanted to interview me. So I was like, okay, I guess I was doing something right in college, because
yeah, because so you're a fan of the team, right? So it's even better on top of that too, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely a nice little whatchamacallit, cherry on top, if you will. You know, I grew up on the Bears. I mean, I obviously it's the basketball fiends, but hey, I do watch other sports. Okay,
I'm how not... could you? You son of a.
Hey, I'm a basketball guy, but hey, I like my other sports too. So yeah,
of course, You know, like for example, me, I cover soccer. I cover the Houston Dynamo here for the Bayou City, my personal blog. So it's nice to have a different sport to kind of cover deeply as I do with basketball for this podcast. And of course, I you know, one thing we've already said on here, we love watching soccer. You know, especially, you know, good soccer, championship soccer, not the championship league in England. No disrespect to those teams, but I'm talking about, like, you know, Euro champions, Copa America, thanks to the nature. Like now I'm kind of watching Gold Cup, not as much, but yeah, okay, when we get to the later rounds, but yeah, man, congrats again, the Chicago Bears, you'll be in with the team. I'll be interested to see, like once the season is over, we'll do like the Alex Aguilera recap.
Like your time with the Bears, how was it? Oh. We'll see, man. I still haven't even started day one yet. We're getting there.
We're getting there. You got to pick out what you're wearing. You got to, you know, have it, you know, ironed out. Got, you know, you got to clean the shoes.
Yeah. So we'll see. But yeah, just super excited. I'm kind of at that point where it's like, I just want to get started already. I mean, yes. I still want to enjoy my weekend, but like kind of like the nerves are just like, you know, that calm before the storm type of deal. Yes. And you just kind of want to like get it over with, like get through that first day, get those like, you know, jitters out. So.
So this is your last weekend as a free man per se, not free man, we should say, but you know, you're not tied down to a job, you know, starting Monday, you're tied down, which is good, right? It's good.
Yeah. You know, be perfect. Making some money. And you know, now when people ask, hey, what are you doing? Like, oh, I'm working for the Bears.
I won't say
it like that though.
Right. Well, you guys say like that with your friends and family, you know.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. I'm just like not that type of guy. I'll just be like, yeah, I know, I work for the Bears. They're like, what? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I'm just a seasonal guy. But it's like, you're working for the Bears, though. And it's like, yeah,
hook it up with some tickets, bro. Hook it up with some tickets. That's the number one question I get asked from friends and some family that don't really know how it works. Like, oh, so you go to the games, man? Can you get me tickets? I'm like, I'm depressed. I'm covering them. Which is different for you because you're actually working for the team, but it's still the same thing, I think.
Right. Like, I swear, like, when I first started getting into journalism, when I started studying it, all my family were like, yo, so you're gonna get us tickets when you get out of school? I'm like, that's not how it works. Like, I can't just go and get everybody like free tickets to the game courtside seats. Like, no, I'm media. Like, I can't do that.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, that's awesome, man. We're from all of us here at the Basketball Finch, which really all of us, it's just you and me, and well, from our Skeena as well, I should say, from all of us, congrats once again, faithful listeners. Thank you guys for listening to another episode of the Basketball Finch. This is our 28th episode. Two more, we get to 30. So at least stick with us for those two more episodes, and well, I mean, I'll stick with us for the rest of the way, but at least, you know, listen to the next two. But that's all we have for you today. Don't forget to subscribe. See ya.
Deuces.